Hi, my name is Eileen, and I'll be reading from the Plymouth Independent. Our first article is Your View: Failed Financial Policies to Blame for the Town's Fiscal Problems, by John Mahoney, January 11, 2026. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. Albert Einstein is often credited with this quote, even though historians believe he probably never said the words. In my opinion, it is the perfect summation of everything that both major parties have failed at in governing the state of Massachusetts. Whether it be at the state level or local level, in any of the 351 communities, it never ceases to amaze me how government is incapable of learning from the mistakes of the past and insists on continuing to repeat them. One policy has been passed every decade or so. There should be an evaluation to see what is working and what isn't about each law. Certainly, there can be improvements made to laws that aren't performing the way they should, and updating them would create a higher standard of fairness for certain mandates from the state. For example, Chapter 61 and 40B legislation are two examples that are long overdue for amending. Another textbook example of something that needs amending is Proposition 2.5. Long heralded as a form of cost control and bastion of fiscal responsibility by capping the growth of property taxes to 2.5% annually, combined with the new growth, it has fallen far short of delivering on lofty promises. Passed in the early 1980s, it was sold as a solution to rising property taxes and would cap the increase a community could impose on its businesses and residents without going to the ballot box. We are currently at the 44-year mark, and not only is it a complete joke, but had zero chance of being effective from day one. We are a society of infrastructure. There is not much I do in my life that doesn't require a road. Other baseline infrastructure in your typical Massachusetts community would be schools, public safety buildings, libraries, town halls, DPW annex, etc. Under Proposition 2.5, there is an auto excise tax. It is a progressive infrastructure tax. It is indiscriminate of one's race, religion, gender, age, political affiliation, and perhaps most importantly, level of income. You are asked three questions before paying the tax: the make, model, and the vehicle, and then a valuation is assigned dependent on the data. So once government collects this tax, the revenue is used to take care of the infrastructure. Absolutely not. That would make too much sense. It is buried in the general fund and artificially supports a portion of the employee's financial package comprised of pay, pension, and health care. So part of 2.5 is to lie to Massachusetts taxpayer, steal their money, mishandle it, and create billions of dollars in infrastructure liability, which we then pretend to have no idea how to pay for it. There is no such thing as cost containment in Proposition 2.5. It is all geared towards cost creation and exclusively raising property taxes exponentially to pay for anything. The other major failure in the notion of new growth: it is all predicated on supplies of land and water being infinite. They are not. 1,000-acre tracts of land don't exist anymore. All the other communities in Plymouth County have attempted 2.5 overrides over the last several decades because they have already passed the 95 percentile of build-out and have nothing but small scraps of land left. Water and land inventories are finite, and every community needs to prioritize having secure, sustainable sources of fresh water available long-term. That is currently not the case in Plymouth. Proposition 2.5 is essentially the James Bond or 007 of state taxation in America. is just a licensed tax with impunity. Suppress economic development, promote antiquated, unsafe, obsolete infrastructure, and being exclusively dependent on exponential property tax increases to pay for everything. Also, it mistakenly assumes that local governments can be trusted with tax revenue. This couldn't be any further from the truth. State government is at its best when they don't trust localities with tax revenue. Textbook examples of this are the model school program and the 1988 mandate that mandated all pension liabilities must be fully funded by 2040. The first and most important correction that needs to be made is that the law should be amended mandating that the auto excise tax is not allowed to go into the general fund. It sits in its own separate interest-bearing account and can only be used to cover the debt service for any investment in the modernization or new construction of the baseline infrastructure. This alone in Plymouth would prevent property taxes from rising billions of dollars over the next several decades. If this were to be accomplished, then simultaneously the millionaire's tax would be rescinded. It would then be redundant and completely unnecessary. I have absolutely no faith that any sensible changes will be implemented on anything. Both major parties are dominated by people who will not enact anything sensible that would improve the lives of our residents because it doesn't benefit them politically. It is easier to sit back and look for scapegoats and point fingers. The majority of the time, our employees, the central nervous system of every community, are blamed for the fiscal ills of the community. They are not the ones who pass the incompetent, failed financial policies. They deserve better, and so don't all of our hardworking residents. John Mahoney. Mahoney is a former member of Plymouth Select Board. Government. Select Board asks for trim budget to offset rising health care costs. Town Manager Derek Brindisi will present the pared-down proposal in advance of a key vote set for Tuesday by Fred Thies' independent staff, January 12, 2020. Select Board members voted unanimously on Friday to instruct Town Manager Derek Brindisi to come up with $2.5 million in proposed budget cuts to consider at its Tuesday night meeting. In a unanimous vote on Friday, board members asked for the alternative budget proposal after listening to dire predictions about the town's fiscal future. The move to pen an alternative proposed budget signals growing concern among town officials over the town's ability to raise as much money as it spends next year and whether the taxpayers can sustain deficit spending to keep up. The primary focus of concern centered on the rising costs of health care for current and former town employees, according to discussion on Friday's meeting. We need to think about how we rein in the health care costs because I don't believe that we can sustain increases for a second straight year like we are sustaining this year, Brindisi told the board. The town's health care costs are expected to increase by $5.1 million, and unless they are contained, Brindisi projected a fiscal crisis in the fiscal year 2028. I am forecasting a very bleak outcome 18 months from now, he said. The board is set to vote on one of the two proposed budgets, Brindisi's $343 million original proposal, or a more frugal budget that assumes 1% less in property tax revenue. At a joint meeting of the Select Board and the Advisory and Finance Committee on a meeting on Tuesday, the $343 million budget for fiscal year 2027, which begins July 1st, represents a 5% increase over this year's. After hearing the dire predictions, members of the board asked for an alternative budget to include the cuts. The town pays 70% of total health care insurance premiums for employees and various, often more generous, percentages for retirees. Until October, monthly health care claims were between 3.5 million and 4 million. Starting in October, they spiked to almost 5 million a month, said Lynn Barrett, the town's finance director. Barrett told board members she erred in October when she based the cost of future health care claims on past claims, creating a $1.1 million shortfall since Brindisi first presented his proposed budget on December 16th. So we need to up the premiums for health insurance, Barrett said, predicting a 14% increase in the premiums the town pays for employees. In addition, the premium the town pays for retirees rose by 12 to 13% as of January 1st. One possible hope for town coffers, if not for some patients, the insurance manager for the town insurance no longer covers some GLP-1 weight loss drugs such as Ozempic and Wegovy used to treat obesity. Savings from the loss of coverage could amount to more than $3 million, Barrett said. However, 339 employees and retirees could lose their access to these drugs because Blue Cross Blue Shield of Massachusetts has discontinued coverage of GLP-1 drugs for obesity as of January 1st, though it continues to cover them for treatment of type 2 diabetes. Fred, these can be reached at fred@plymouthindependent.org. Police and fire. Explosion, fire, damage Haven Road home. Six people escaped uninjured. The cause is under investigation by Mark Pothier, independent staff, January 12, 2026. A Monday morning explosion and fire at a 35 Haven Road home that displaced six people and caused significant damage is under investigation by local and state officials. Firefighters responding to a 911 call just before 10 a.m. found flames shooting from the second floor of the house, but were able to bring the blaze under control in about 20 minutes, according to the Plymouth Fire Department. All six people inside the home were able to escape before firefighters arrived. The American Red Cross is working with local fire officials to find them temporary housing. The fire department said in a press release that the location was challenging because the neighborhood off Long Pond Road lacks hydrants. But it said firefighters managed to draw enough water from the supplies kept on their engines to quickly douse the heavy flames, preventing the blaze from spreading into the attic of the home. According to Chief Neil Foley, the first arriving engine recognized what we needed to do and were able to make a transitional attack on the fire, keeping it out of the attic space. He said firefighters did a great job of preventing the fire from getting into the attic and completely engulfing the home. The local fire department and Massachusetts State Police Fire and Explosion Investigation Unit are investigating what happened. Officials did not provide an estimate of the amount of damage caused by the fire. Mark Pothier can be reached at mark@plymouthindependent.org. Environment and health. Controversial condo development would overlook toxic waste site. The land adjacent to a planned 163-unit North Plymouth complex has long been mired in environmental issues, by Andrea Estes, independent staff, January 12, 2026. It's a beautiful location offering sweeping harbor views, but Pulte Homes proposed six-story condo building on Sandry Drive also overlooks a mostly empty expanse of weeds and trees, once declared a toxic waste site by federal environmental authorities. It is the Plymouth Harbor Cannon Engineering Corp. Environmental Protection Agency Superfund site, where officials found lead, fuel oil, and other hazardous substances leaking from above-ground storage tanks in 1980. though the site was cleaned and removed from the Environmental Protection Agency's National Priorities List in 1993, it still is a subject to 5-year reviews. In addition, there is a continuing deed restriction on the property prohibiting construction of housing on the site. It also can be used for recreation. The question is, who knew what, when, and how this project can continue to move forward without the developer, property owner fully and publicly addressing these serious issues, said Select Board Member Deb Equinto. The revelations about the ongoing environmental concerns near the area controversial 163-unit condominium complex could give its neighbors and opponents another foothold in their long battle to stop it. The Superfund site sits beside the largest of three buildings proposed for the condominium complex. Select Board Member Deb Equinto, a vocal critic of the project, called news of the adjacent Superfund site one more shocking revolution. The question is, who knew what, when, and how this project can continue to move forward without the developer and property owner fully and publicly addressing these serious issues, she said. I think we should hit the pause button on any decisions regarding this development until we have full transparency and accountability, Equinto added. Representatives of Pulte Homes of New England and the well-known Sheen family, which owns the land set to be developed, did not return telephone calls seeking comment. In their most recent 5-year report issued in 2023, EPA officials said there was no evidence contamination had spread to other property, but cautioned against future guarantees. The risks posed by climate change in New England could possibly impact the protectiveness of the remedy at the site in the future, the report said. The impacts of sea level rise, flooding, and or storm surge could possibly adversely affect the clean soil cover because the site is located near Plymouth Harbor. The report continued. Sea level rise could cause groundwater to rise. If the groundwater is contaminated, that could be an issue. At the now overgrown property, broken down fencing has enabled homeless people to erect tents and live there, the report says. The land is owned by New Millennium Ventures, a company associated with Joseph Gennetti, who developed Cordage Park, the business and industrial area next to the Plymouth Harbor. Cordage Park property manager Kristen Ligori said, while there is the possibility of reusing or redeveloping the site on Sandry Drive in the future, there are no plans currently. The EPA determined that an industrial or commercial business could operate on the site. Beyond the questions raised by the proximity to the Superfund site, there are potential environmental issues within the Pulte site itself. A former warehouse for L. Knife and Sons, the Sheehan family business. This fall, environmental consultants found arsenic and other harmful chemicals in the soil and water at L. Knife's Sandy Drive location. The arsenic was present in a sufficient quality to require removal, as ordered in an October 1st urgent legal letter from the State Department of Environmental Protection to the property owners. DEP documents show 8 Mates LLC had 7,500 gallons of water containing arsenic removed from the site and 200 tons of arsenic removed from the soil. Long-term exposure to arsenic can pose serious health risks, and it is a known human carcinogen. So far, neither Pulte nor Sheehan family has publicly disclosed these concerns. The purchase and sales agreement signed in November 2023 between Pulte and the two Sheen family companies, L. Knife & Sons and 8 Meats LLC, doesn't mention any environmental concerns or its proximity to the Superfund site. Instead, the agreement declaratively says there has been no discharge, spillage, control loss, seepage, or filtration of hazardous waste on, under, or within the property or any contiguous real estate. A new draft amended purchase and sale agreement obtained by the Independent acknowledged arsenic was found on the Sandy Drive site as well as a different piece of the project on Hedge Road. Buyer has identified on the portion of the property located at 0 Sandry Drive, a historical release of arsenic in soil and groundwater at levels that require further action under environmental law, the draft agreement says. Buyer has identified on the portion of the property located at 39 Hedge Road, elevated concentrations of arsenic in a soil stockpile. Buyer also identified other potential environmental concerns at the property, the draft amendment says. The new PNS requires 8 Meats to dispose of the contaminated materials. With all the critiques of the Pulte proposal, it's out of character with the neighborhood. It will create too much traffic and not enough parking. Major environmental concerns have yet to emerge, but environmental experts, including the former head of the Superfund program, said they would be comfortable living nearby as long as they were sure a thorough cleanup had been completed. By all the reports I read, the remedy for the Cannon site was successfully implemented, the focus being on soil remediation and placing clean fill over the contaminated soil, said Wolford, the former longtime director of the EPA Superfund program. That location, though, does raise a concern in the future with the sea level rise from global warming, he added. The question is whether the site is or could be subject to flooding, say from a strong nor'easter or hurricane. In that case, could the cover over the contaminated soil left in place erode to the point that the contaminated soils become suspended and can migrate, he said. He pointed out that fencing around the property had fallen into disrepair, even though EPA officials said the fencing may no longer be needed. This fencing is an important aspect of the remedy to keep individuals off the site so they can't compromise the remedy or cause themselves exposure, Wolford said. As for the Pulte site itself, Lenny Siegel, who heads the California-based Center for Public Environmental Oversight, said, after reviewing the various DEP reports, there is no reason to believe it is unsafe to build at the site due to the current levels of contamination. But I think that potential risk due to anticipated sea level rise should be evaluated. It's easier to protect against such risk when building a project than later when people are already living there. The 2.5-acre Plymouth Harbor Cannon Engineering Corporation site contained 3 above-ground storage tanks holding lead and low levels of dangerous chemicals called polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbons, or PAHs. According to the EPA documents, the tanks, which all sat between 50 feet and 180 feet from Plymouth Harbor, were originally constructed in the 1920s and used for storing fuel and oil unloaded from barges. In 1975, the company started storing motor oils, industrial oils, and other hazardous substances in the tanks, the document said. The company transported and stored hazardous waste at the Plymouth facility and incinerated it at the Bridgewater's Massachusetts facility until 1980, when the facilities went into receivership, according to the EPA. The site was placed on the National Priorities List in September 1983. After cleanup, EPA took the site off the list in November 1993. Over the years, the Sheehan family has offered various proposals for redeveloping their North Plymouth properties. In 2017, Sheehan floated the idea of building a school in the neighborhood with student housing in a community center, according to news reports at the time. Even earlier, in the late 1980s and early 1990s, Eight Mates LLC proposed an apartment complex for the land between Prince and Hedge Road. It would not have been a 40B affordable housing project. Called the Village at Hedge Road, the plan consisted of 74 one- and two-bedroom apartments in 34 detached buildings with a traditional design featuring cedar shingles and peaked roofs. The company obtained permits from the Zoning Board of Appeals and other town committees. The approvals were extended multiple times, but the project never moved forward. Town documents don't say why. I think the neighborhood would prefer the site remain undeveloped, said board member Kevin Canty, a North Plymouth resident. However, past proposals were more in line with the character of the area and fit better into the fabric of North Plymouth. They would have been more palatable to the neighborhood and its residents. I think anything would be better than this mega project built by an out-of-town developer who clearly couldn't care less about the concerns of the people living nearby, Canty said. Andrea Estes can be reached at andrea@plymouthindependent.org. I'm Eileen, and you've been listening to a publication of the Plymouth Independent, dated January 12th. Thanks for listening to the Talking Information Center.